John chapter 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news that she had seen the Lord and that he had told her this. 1 Corinthians 15:16 through 22. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Years ago, Newsweek magazine ran a cover story that on the cover of the magazine there was a painting of Jesus' face and it said, "Does the resurrection really matter anymore?" It was written by a theologian that Newsweek magazine had brought on staff to be able to write this, a fellow who was considered the greatest living theologian among the people of the secular world. This man truly does know the Bible better than most people alive today, and he still is alive at the time of this message. But he's no better than an atheist. Well, he's a theologian. He's an ordained minister of the Church of England. This is true, but it doesn't mean that he's a Christian, and it doesn't mean that he believes the Bible, which he clearly didn't. And as he went on to speak about the resurrection of Jesus, does it really matter anymore? Well, we are a rational people now. We are an intelligent people now. We know that people just don't rise from the dead and go on living forever in a new body. That's just the way it is. So we want to be rational about this and realize that, as he would say, if Jesus really even existed at all, which he may or may not have, he would say, and did say, that the resurrection, Easter, as he would put it, reminds us of a new and living hope that we have here as human beings on this earth, that we have a future to look forward to, and that right now is a good time to renew our vision of life and optimism and of the future, because it is springtime. And of course, we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It doesn't really matter whether it happened in reality or not. Smart man, fool. And the reason I say that is not because I'm smarter than him or that I know the Bible more than him. But you see, it's not a matter of whether the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place. It had to. It had to. It could even be proven in a court of law, which is not our purpose this morning, so we're not going to go that direction with this message. But this particular fellow laid it out in a way that, well, it's not important. And it was probably a myth. But the disciples didn't think so. And they left their mark on history, not just the 12 apostles, but all the disciples of Jesus and the disciples that came after the disciples that came after the disciples. They believed it. It was passed down from a group of men who actually had met Jesus alive after his death on the cross, his placement in the tomb, and 3 days later, out he comes. And they met him. And all but one of the 12 apostles, according to at least church tradition, and there's probably a lot of merit to the things that are written about their deaths, they all died a martyr's death, proclaiming the resurrection, which was not accepted in most parts of the Roman and Greek world, much less the foreign parts of the world outside the empire, where many of these people actually went and died, proclaiming that their master, the Messiah, God who became man in such a way that he could bleed, he could feel pain, he could die, he could become a corpse, he could be laid in a tomb, and then miraculously raised from the dead, come out of that tomb in a body that will now live forever and never die again. And that if we put our faith in him, that is also our fate. That we will also one day have a body like his in what manner? That it will never die again, that it's capable of living on earth, capable of living in heaven, capable of existing and living in the presence of God, right in the presence of his very being, which our human bodies right now are completely incapable of doing according to the scripture. It just won't happen. But Jesus did it. And these men went out and died. Women, they were the first ones at the tomb. They were the first ones who believed. They were the ones who told the men who didn't believe initially that Jesus had risen from the dead. And their message was exactly the same. We don't know about any martyrdom of these particular women, but they still proclaimed it, and they proclaimed it to the very disciples Jesus called to be his apostles who didn't believe it at first. And the message went out from there. And every time the gospel was preached, the message of salvation to people everywhere in the world, Jews and Gentiles, the message of the Messiah, that he came as God, as man, and lived among us, and died the death we deserved to die, was put in a tomb and came out of that tomb 3 days later, alive in a body that would never die again. And that if we believe him and him, in him, and follow him, that we, too, will have a body like his one day. We are saved. Saved from hell, saved to heaven. Saved in him. Because we put our faith in this man who came out of that tomb a couple of thousand years ago. Now, here's something that we need to take into consideration. I asked the question, does the resurrection matter anymore. And this may be something that even you're thinking about. Well, does it really matter? Because we live in this very rational world where such things are just kind of like, okay, I believe in the principle of the resurrection like this theologian, and I think it's an optimistic view like this theologian. But whether it really happened or not, it really doesn't matter. But it does. Because we ask often, what does the resurrection mean? And I asked the question too, and I asked it to people. But more than that, we have to ask, well, is it important? Here's the question. What did the resurrection do? What did the resurrection accomplish? This tells us whether it matters anymore. And the disciples understood this. Because here's the deal, and I'll give you a list. This is a short list. But let me just talk through it for a second. The first list that I give you is a terrible list. But I want you to keep listening. It may get you down. Don't let it, because we win in the end. But here's the deal. If Jesus didn't physically rise from the dead and ascend to his Father, never to die again, then if he didn't, then he lied. Because he kept telling his disciples, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be abused by the elders there. They're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again, and I will ascend to my Father in heaven. And he told them this, and he told them this to try and undo the presuppositions that they had in their mind that he was going to conquer the Romans and be a king during that time. Instead, he said, I'm going to rise from the dead because they are going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. And the disciples kept saying, no, far be it from you. That's not going to happen. Of course, you know, Peter sort of ran point on that one. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, Jesus, who is the great moral teacher, the world will tell you, lied. And that means he was a terrible moral teacher. It also tells us something else. Do you love the Bible? Do you like that book? Do you believe that the Bible is a holy book? Do you believe that the Bible is from God? Even if you don't believe all the Bible is from God, I believe that it is absolute truth from Genesis to Revelation, every verse inspired by God himself. That's me. Because the Bible itself says that about itself. If it's not true, the Bible lies. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Bible lied. Because it predicted his resurrection in the Old Testament, and it recorded his resurrection in the New Testament, and it records the effect of his resurrection to his followers in the New Testament in detail, and that not only is inspired scripture, it is also perfect history. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Bible is a lousy book because it just lied if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But if Jesus rose from the dead, then the Bible is true, from Genesis to Revelation. If Jesus rose from the dead, then Jesus didn't lie, and everything he said is true, and every word must be taken into consideration by every one of us, because it's eternal life or eternal death, not just life and death. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the apostles lied. Because they're the ones that went out and said, hey, he rose from the dead. They sent the message all over the empire and to the uttermost parts of the earth that Jesus is alive. They sent this message out. And then all but one of them, John apparently, who died of old age, the rest of them died a martyr's death for a lie. You would think one of them would crack under the pressure, the torture, the threats, the beatings, the crucifixions, and everything else that was far worse. And yet none of these guys said, oh, well, we made it up. Not one. Not one. Which means either it was true or they were fools. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the apostles lied. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no eternal life with God. How could there be? If Jesus didn't rise, guess what? You're not going to rise either. That's just the plain, simple fact. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there are no miracles and no power for our lives. The resurrection is truly the greatest miracle. A dead man who was a corpse, became alive again, not to die again, but to live forever in that same body that came out of the tomb, never to die again. And that means that if it wasn't true, all of Jesus' miracles and all the miracles that were ever attested to in the scripture were just very clever magician's tricks. In fact, they were probably just legends and myths if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But if he rose from the dead, then everything that happened miraculously in the Bible, why wouldn't it be true? Because it could. And when the Bible says it did, and it happened, and then Jesus rose from the dead, it's like God's stamp of verification on it saying, see, I told you, it's all true. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Holy Spirit, well, he never came. All the religious experiences that we have are all psychological ecstasies or dementia of some sort. Because Jesus said, when I ascend to the Father, I will send my Spirit. I will send the Comforter. The Comforter, Jesus, sends the Holy Spirit. And if he wasn't there to send the Holy Spirit, to ascend to his Father and send the Holy Spirit, where's our comfort? All the miracles? Clever tricks. Divine power at work? Nah, just sort of a delusion that people have because he didn't ascend to heaven. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we have no intercessor in heaven for us. Now, the Bible tells us that for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus isn't up there pleading for our forgiveness. He bought that on the cross. But he is up there so that we will know in front of the Father that God looks upon him and his scars, which he bore after his resurrection. The Bible says so. That the Father looks at him and says, the price for mankind's sin has been paid. And therefore, he is our intercessor. Like, well, what's an intercessor? That's a very religious term. It's really not. An intercessor is a defense attorney. Or it could be even a high priest who prepares the sacrifice and lifts it up before God on the altar, and God says the sacrifice is accepted. Jesus was the sacrifice. He's the intercessor. And that means that when God looks at him, he looks at us and says, we're forgiven because we put our faith in him. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he's not there. His body's not there. His scars are not there. We don't have an intercessor in heaven. And that means we stand guilty before God right where you are right now. That is the worst news I think anybody could ever hear. More than that, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we all stand condemned before God. Once again, there's no mediator, there's no high priest, there was no sacrifice for sins, because Jesus, when he came out of that tomb alive, overcame death, overcame the sin that killed him. Remember, sin brought death into this world. And Jesus' death and his resurrection says sin is now overcome. Whoever puts their faith in me, their sins are forgiven. And they too have overcome sin. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no reward in heaven. Why? Because there's no one there to give it. And we won't be there to receive it. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we won't either. It's all fake. If he didn't rise from the dead, there's no heaven for us. If Jesus isn't there, there's no heaven for us. There's no resurrection body for us. Because he didn't rise from the dead, he didn't get a resurrection body. But when he did rise from the dead, he, the Bible said, you can read about it in 1 Corinthians 15, very clear there, that when he came out of that tomb, he was the first fruits of the resurrection. What does that mean? In other words, he was the first one ever to rise from the dead. Other people had done that. But the first one ever to rise from the dead, never to die again. And later on, Paul says in the same passage, later on in history, that's our future, there will come a day when the dead will rise with the same type of bodies that he had, that he has today. And if we are alive at the same time as that event takes place, the Bible calls it the resurrection of the dead, and if that occurs and we happen to be alive, our bodies are changed, transformed in the twinkling of an eye, to be like Jesus' body, to be like the resurrected. That's, by the way, called the rapture. If you don't believe in the rapture, you have made a mistake, because the rapture is simply a fancy word for saying it's the resurrection of the dead contingency. What if you're alive when the resurrection of the dead takes place? That's the rapture. You're transformed, caught up in the air to be with them. We get those bodies and we will never die. Wow, that's why I hope it comes in our lifetime, because nobody likes the thought of death. But the fact is, there will come a day when a lot of people aren't going to die, because they will be transformed at the time of the resurrection of the dead. But if Jesus didn't rise, none of that's going to happen. Don't worry about it. You're just going to die, lay in the ground, as people have crudely said, food for the worms. Oh, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no heavenly reunions, because you're not going to be there, and neither are they. Those loved ones, those friends, those family members, why would they be? This is kind of the philosophy, in fact, of a religious sect during the time of Jesus called the Sadducees, where they believed in God, they believed in His commands, but they didn't believe that God would raise anyone from the dead. Therefore, it really didn't matter what you did with your body in this life. It's almost like an Epicurean type of philosophy that came out of Greece, except it happens to be among a Jewish religious sect that ran the temple at the time of Jesus called the Sadducees. And they didn't believe in heavenly reunions either, and Jesus rebuked them for that. In fact, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, sin, death, the law that accuses us of doing wrong. Remember, the law is not just a list of things to do right. The law is a thermometer that tells you when you're sick. The devil, even. That they weren't able to be defeated. They're still there. Because Jesus didn't rise from the dead, sin killed him too. Death still had a grip on him. The law killed him. Even though he never committed a sin, he must have, because he never rose. Oh, and the devil won, because he holds that key. But Jesus holds the keys to sin and death now, as he said. And he makes sure that we understand that. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it just gets worse. He's not coming back, because he didn't rise. So there's no hope for the future. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're deluded. In fact, as I read earlier from 1 Corinthians, we of all people are most pitied because we believe in something that is absolutely ridiculous. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we as Christians, if you're a Christian, false witnesses, because we're proclaiming something that is, well, never happened. That's irrational. It's mythological, just didn't happen. But we walk around believing it, and that we are probably the largest group of mentally ill people in this world, delusional, and will be the most surprised dead people at the end of all things. Well, as you can tell, dismal list, horrible list. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what did the resurrection do? Does the resurrection matter anymore? If the resurrection didn't happen, all that I just listed and a lot more that you could add in, I'm sure, all of that happens to be the terrible facts. Everything we believe, everything we hope for, everything mankind hopes for, and we're talking about non-believing mankind, everything that mankind hopes for, truly, as you can tell, stands or falls on the truth of this one single event. Jesus didn't give us options in it. It happened. It's whether you believe it or not doesn't make it less true, because it happened. That's if Christ didn't rise. I find it also fascinating, if I could stick in just a quick comment here on this before we get to the really good news, that it's unfortunate that many Christians live today as if Jesus never rose from the dead. And they live today as if He's not coming back. I think if we sat down and we thought on that resurrection, read it there in the scripture at the end of all four gospels where it talks about the resurrection. See what the resurrection did as far as transforming the lives of the disciples and the apostles as you read the book of Acts, especially the first few chapters, but the rest of the book too. That you think, what is it that transformed them? It wasn't just the call of God. It was the understanding that Jesus is alive. So, what did that do? Not just what does it mean to me. I can get that part wrong. What did it do? And that tells you what it means. And if that's true, what am I doing with my life? Am I piddling it away on useless things? Or am I following Jesus? And we do the best we can. He does the rest. He does His part in our lives. But so many Christians live as if He never rose. Don't be one of those. Think on the resurrection. Chew on it. Marinate in it. And realize that He did this so that we, could live His life in this world. A life full of joy, even when the chips are down. A life knowing that there is an absolute hope, not a hope that it might be, but a hope that is coming and will be here soon for all of us because of Him. But here's the good news. If Jesus is risen, oh, the hope that we have. Not just hope for the future, but hope right now. The certainty of eternal life has come with Jesus. He is risen. Yes, He is risen indeed. You got it. He is risen. So He's alive. He is alive. Never to die again. And He's with His Father. And He is the proof before His Father that He died for our sins. We didn't ask. We were God's enemies. We were children of wrath. And yet Christ still died for us. Took that cross. Was nailed to it. Became a corpse and went into the tomb, and now He rises and He ascends to His Father, and He is there as living proof before God that you are forgiven by God because of Jesus. Don't let the devil throw that back in your face, because what the devil says is always a lie. Because He lives, He now lives in us. Now, I don't know how that works, but that's what the Bible says, and He's there by His Holy Spirit. He is in the people that follow Him. He is in those who have received Him as their Savior and their Lord. And He is somehow, supernaturally, through the circumstances around us and through the work of His Holy Spirit in us, through the Word of God, which we read and absorb, and it changes our lives, because when God speaks, things happen. Changes happen. Because He lives, He's transforming us into His likeness. This is what's happening to you. I don't feel very much like Jesus. Hey, let me tell you, I don't either. Not all the time. As a matter of fact, the more I get to be like Jesus, I think the further away I really am. But the truth is, it's God's work. And someday, when we stand before Him, right now I'd say, oh my goodness, what a mess. I'm so human. God is going to look at us and He's going to say, Jesus did it all. And when I see you, I'm looking right through Him, He will tell you. Oh, that's amazing. Because He lives, we can now know that the Bible is absolutely true. He said He would rise from the dead. That's the hardest part of all. Oh, almost any miracle that's out there, especially today with all the special effects that are in the movies, you can probably pull a rabbit out of your hat and maybe fake one or something, but wait, how do you get a dead man to become alive again, never to die? How does that happen? And with plenty of eyewitnesses, not just the 12, not just the women, but at one point in Galilee, over 500 at one time, where Paul even said over in Corinthians, to the Corinthians, look, if you don't believe me, go ask them. Most of them are still alive. And they'll tell you, He appeared to them. Because He lives, we can know that the Bible is absolutely true, because Jesus fulfilled everything, fulfilled everything that He said He was going to do, including and especially rise from the dead, never to die again. because he lives, we have that mediator, that defense attorney, that high priest in heaven who says to us today, not just then, today, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly before God. It doesn't mean I come pridefully. It means that I can come into his presence with boldness. I don't have to come cringing. I don't have to do what many people do, flagellate themselves, whip themselves, kneel on broken glass or break their knees open, scraping them, going up flights of stairs to somehow ascend up to a church so that God would recognize that they were contrite in their sins. Yes, we need to be contrite about our sins. But he says, come boldly, not cringing and not in fear, before your heavenly Father. Because Jesus is the door, and he opened the way, and he said, come on in. I want you to walk into my Father's presence. Because he lives, the Holy Spirit has come, and he lives in us. And it means there's nothing in all of God's will that we cannot accomplish. If God wants us to do something, he's going to get it done, and he's going to do it through us. Our future is not only bright, it's glorious because he lives. Because he lives, Satan is defeated. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is formidable and he is still very, very dangerous. But he's defeated. And all he's doing is walking around now territory that God will take back someday when Jesus returns. But he is defeated because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Because Jesus ascended to the Father and sent his Holy Spirit, who lives in you, because he lives. Because he lives, death is defeated. If he waits to come back in 100 years or so, we'll be gone. We'll experience death. But that's why Paul could say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? There's still grief. There's still mourning. There's still sadness. There's still loss, but there's no sting. Because we know that a person is only lost when you don't know where to find him. But a person who dies in Christ, we know where to find him. With the Father in heaven, they're safe, and we'll see him again. Because he lives, we'll rise with him, and we'll be with him, and we'll be like him, and we get new bodies like his. Maybe even new bodies with a better complexion and more hair. I don't know, but it's going to be fabulous, and the body will never age and it will never die. It'll be perfect because it'll be like his. Because he lives, we'll be reunited with those loved ones again. The ones who have put their faith in him, they'll be waiting. They are, in fact, right now, because he lives. Take comfort in that. Because he lives, we don't hang our heads in grief or shame. Jesus rose from the dead. Don't hide it. Rejoice. Because he's alive. He lives. No wonder Paul said so boldly to the Philippians, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Another time he said, I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. And yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The Apostle Paul is considered one of the smartest men who ever lived in the history of the world. And for a man of that intelligence that could bury that theologian who made that proclamation, does the resurrection really matter anymore? Paul would say, he lives in me. He's risen. And besides, I met him. I'm an eyewitness. That's the Apostle Paul. Even Thomas, who doubted. Do you doubt? Yeah, I doubt. I have a lot of doubts. I'm a very rational person, and I doubt a lot of things. And when I read the Bible, sometimes I scratch my head, and I think the devil kind of whispers in my ear sometimes, did it really happen? Boy, I'll tell you, he said that before, hasn't he? Did God really say? We've heard that before, too. But good old doubting Thomas, he wasn't the only one who doubted, but he was really the most prominent one who did. And Thomas, he said, I won't believe that he rose from the dead unless I can put my fingers in his hands and in the hole in his side. Jesus shows up a week later. Says, Thomas, go ahead. Here's the hole in my side. Here are the holes in my hands. Go ahead, touch them. And Thomas falls to his knees and says, my Lord and my God. Some people have foolishly said he was speaking profanity, like, oh my God. He was saying, Lord of me, God of me. He was proclaiming exactly who Jesus is. He is my master, absolutely. And he is my God, risen from the dead. God who became man, became a corpse, became alive, never to die again. C.S. Lewis said this, and I have to read this quote. It's just really good. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation. A new chapter in cosmic history has opened. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything is different. Does the resurrection really matter anymore? It always has mattered, and it matters to the nth degree, because even people who do not believe in the resurrection, truly, when they think about it, have no alternative. They must, because the alternative to the resurrection is too terrible to imagine on any scale. The disciples all saw him, and they died with the testimony of his being alive on their lips. They journeyed across the known world spreading this good news, that God became a man, that men killed him only to see him come to life again, and that we can be like him and with him forever in the same manner. Paul, the apostle, a killer of Christians at the beginning, as he called himself the worst of all sinners, preached the resurrection until he was executed for it in Rome. The women, Jesus had so many women disciples. The women disciples saw him alive, and they rejoiced. And even through their testimony wasn't believed, they now lived out their lives in that joy. And even while Jesus walked the earth in his resurrection, those 500 that saw him alive all at the same time. Now, you may be thinking, as I wrap this up, that, oh, if only I could see him too, how blessed I would be. That would just really cement it for me if he would just appear in my room at night and show me that he's alive. If he did that, he would probably scare you to death. That would be a terrifying experience. However, Jesus told Thomas, Thomas, doubting Thomas, you know, you believe because you saw. But more blessed are those, more happy, more blessed. You want to be blessed? More blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's us. We haven't seen, but we believe. Do you believe this? Jesus left us only two choices. Either he rose or he didn't. If he rose, he was and is everything he said he was. He was and is everything the Bible said about him, that it's all true. And if he didn't rise, the hopelessness is too deep to dwell on. And from here, we must go our merry way and not think about it. For all life, if Jesus didn't rise, is a fleeting, misplaced hope. Did Jesus rise? He had to. Not in principle, that's magical thinking. In reality, in time, in space, he lives. He must. Because all reality, all history, all aspirations, the future itself, the possibility of hope, any hope depends on it, on him. Now, if you doubt this, you're in good company. But more blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. If you have never taken Jesus seriously. He's alive. He can come into your life just by asking. He is alive. He is not far from you. In fact, somehow in that connection that we can barely describe between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that thing called the Trinity, that He can hear your words and your thoughts and know every act right now. And He, because of His death on the cross, forgives your every sin. He already did it at the cross. You don't have to say, "What must I do?" He already did it. That's called grace. So how must I be saved? You put your faith in Him. You're the one who saves me, Lord Jesus. You're the one who gives me eternal life. You're alive right now. And I want you and need you to be my Savior. Save me from hell, from my sins, from my guilt before God. He's the only one who can. There's nothing you've ever done that can add up before God that will save you except the work of Jesus Himself and only Jesus. And be my Lord. Rule my life. You say, but that's different. It is. And that's when you want to get around Christians. You want to read your Bible. You want to go to church. You want to pray. Because that's how you learn to follow God. What's that look like? Looks like Jesus. Looks like what Jesus taught His disciples. And let me tell you, it's worth it. I've been doing it for most of my life. And there's times it was hard and times when I failed. But there's never been a time where I haven't said it's not worth it. It always is. Jesus is alive. Put your faith in Him today and you too will live forever. Call out to Him right now. In Jesus' name, have a great resurrection day.